Morning.
Hi, everybody. My name is Dutch, and I'm a drug addict. And welcome to ACPTW, number one. This is the panel on the fourth, fifth, and sixth traditions, and we'll open it with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict. Okay, Mom. Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question, we know. Our whole life and thinking is centered in drugs in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We use to live and live to use. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. What is the NA program? NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs had become a major problem. We are recovered addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the honest desire to stop using. There are no musts in NA, but we suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no leaders, no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, and no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, color, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean. And this is how it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are suggested only, but they are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Although there are no musts in NA, there are three things that seem indispensable. These are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the problem of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from getting or continuing a habit is not to take that first fix, pill, or drink. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again or create a new one. The substitution of alcohol has caused a great many addicts to form a new addiction pattern, which in its progression brings as many problems as before. We seem to forget that alcohol is one of the oldest known drugs. It would appear that we are people with addictive personalities who are strongly susceptible to alcoholic addiction. And for anybody who's new, that's usually how we open up a meeting. As I said before, my name's Dutch. I am a drug addict.
Hi, Dutch. Dutch.
And this meeting now is on the 4th, 5th, and 6th traditions. These traditions are spiritual principles that in the midst of all the chaos we can hold on to and keep together. I know my personal experience with my recovery, I didn't always look at the traditions. I more or less did what I wanted, and if it fell in line with the traditions, great. If it didn't, well, I would work it out later. And I really wasn't that oriented in the steps, which would make me less oriented with the traditions. So, needless to say, a lot of my recovery was self-will. In becoming more involved in service and seeing some of the difficulties that, you know, confront us all the time, I guess personally I began to want to learn about the traditions. When somebody told me that the traditions were for the group, what the steps are to the individual, I thought that was great, because there were times when I felt that everything was coming apart at the seams. And, you know, it's like, I guess, my personal program. In the beginning, I would work the steps when I was in a lot of pain, and then when the pain would pass, you know, I would go on automatic pilot and hope that some of it got ingrained into my life. And it's the same thing with the traditions. When things get out of whack, you know, I can, you know, go to the traditions and try to put things back on course. And as a result of that, hopefully it becomes a way of life. I'm fortunate. I've made a lot of mistakes. And a lot of my mistakes have been in interpreting the traditions. Which can fall in the same lines of self-will. And we really don't at this time have any, you know, 12 tradition book that, you know, gives the whole philosophy of the traditions to the fellowship. So right now we're in a kind of fragile point to go by. I think panels like these are good. I think that, you know, what is in our basic text is good. I think that some of the things that the new 12 and 12 is good. And I think that through the combination of, you know, a lot of things, that's just my opinion, you know, we can come out with what works. as far as how this meeting is going to be run today and how the traditions can apply to the people present today, that's up to what you people want to put into it too. I know that I personally, and I'm assuming for the other two people, that it isn't just a lecture type of thing. They're pretty boring for 2.5 hours. And questions and answers, I've done these things before, and I've had questions that Greg gave me on the traditions that I would ask the people that were pretty good. Well, I didn't bring it, and Greg doesn't have his, so we can create our own questions. They were really good and hit on a lot of the issues. And when the issues were hit on and talked about, I could begin to understand them. And I could begin to interpret the traditions instead of just reading them and, having to live by them. Because if I don't understand what I have to live by, I'm going to not do that great of a job. So, with the fourth tradition, I'd like to read it, go along the same format as last night's meeting. I know there may be some, at least with the fourth tradition, I imagine people have some questions. This is from the, this is out for review. Has people seen the It Works, How and Why? The new 12 and 12. Have they reviewed it? Has anybody reviewed it or read it and seen what's in it? This is out to the fellowship now for review. It's done by the World Literature Conference. They've done a lot of work on it. And some of the things in here I'd like to, go over. And, each of the panel members can talk about it and their experiences with it. And then, I guess throw it out. 2.5 hours is a long time to be here, so. Tradition four is each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. At least in my experience, this tradition was the one that gave me the right to do what I wanted. That is the way I interpreted tradition four for a long time. You can't tell us how to run our meeting because we are covered by the fourth tradition. That's our loophole for, whatever we want. And, Dauphine, it wants a con, to look for it, and that's what the rationalization came up with. That's our loophole. I know in my experience, a lot of what I thought was autonomy started out with good intentions and ended up possibly in a destructive form. It hinged on the fourth tradition and didn't worry about the other traditions simply because nobody talked about the traditions and nobody understood them. And I think, on my own personal opinion and in my own personal life, the steps in the traditions aren't talked about enough at the meetings. There's, at least in my area, in my region, there's too many therapy classes at meetings. And I don't know, they don't seem to work for me anymore. And I need the steps, and I need the traditions. It's 24 steps, if you look at it that way, or it's 12 and 12. But, it says that there is a difference between autonomy and anarchy. Anarchy occurs when an individual or group acts selfishly, without concern for the welfare of others. Autonomy, on the other hand, describes the process wherein a group acts to take care of its needs, carefully following the 12 traditions, demonstrating a concern for the welfare of its members and other people involved. And I'm okay with that definition of autonomy. as long as it has concerns for other people involved. And you know, the autonomy that I see today with the fourth tradition is that it gives you, you can be creative in how you want to run your meetings and create your atmosphere of recovery. You can have a personality to your meeting. You can have everything. If all the meetings were the same, and we would, you know, be robots, you know, it wouldn't be. It gives you that opportunity to be creative, and still stay within bounds. And I know for me, staying in bounds is important, because when I get out of bounds, I like to stay out of bounds. And you know, the whole idea with you know, autonomy, it keeps your group together. The people join that group because they like its style. You know, they like its they like the personality of that group. You know, they feel more comfortable with the ways of it. Maybe it has a name that they can identify with. It doesn't all have to be the Monday night meeting of such and such a city of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you can put something else into it that perhaps you can identify with. And, you know, and it's a simple matter, but it doesn't hurt any of the other. It doesn't hurt any of the other groups. And along with other groups, you know, it should include other members. These are, you know, let's say the steps for the groups, but they do concern the members that make up the groups. You know, there are some things in here that I have trouble with, and that's just my own personal opinion. I think that I will delay on any comment right now, because it'll probably be discussed later. Someone, I think, will have a question. But it's part of the philosophy that I think that the original intent, the way that I understand it, was that Narcotics Anonymous is going to go to probably most countries in the world. And in understanding and interpreting the traditions, that becomes the philosophy of Narcotics Anonymous that hopefully everybody falls in line with and understands and puts in their lives. And with the four step, it gives us our individual creativity as members and members of groups and as groups. It doesn't take anything away from us for being members of Narcotics Anonymous. We can still be what we want to be, and we can still be who we are, as long as we don't hurt other people and as long as we don't divide. And it's my understanding that this tradition four is right where it should be, because you know, we have a unity issue first, a common welfare first, and then we have a loving God as we understand Him as our group conscience, and then we have a desire for membership. And there's three, you know, principles that is before the fourth tradition, and it's not by any means the most important, and it's not by any means the least important. It is 1/12 of the traditions. And you know, I think a lot of times, and I know I've done it in the past, when I've gotten emotional with an issue, that became the most important tradition at the time. It became the most important issue or cause, and I would rally behind it, and I mean, I stayed straight, but I mean, I probably, if I could have understood it and interpreted it and not have to have the ego to fight something, you know, I would have probably done a lot better in my recovery, but I did what I did. And I'm the type of person, I have to understand, you know, before I can put it into my life. And at least with the traditions, with the steps, it was more doing it and seeing the results later. But it says in here, and I don't know if everybody here is going to get a copy of a 12 and 12 to review. I think it's good. I think anything that World Services puts out, I think that they put out as part of what the philosophy of Narcotics Anonymous is, that affects NA as a whole. And I think that everybody in Narcotics Anonymous who gives a damn should be responsible to go over it. And you know, I personally, I would like to see more people involved with it, because the more informed a group conscience is, the less chance it has of making errors. And the more, you know, we can all fall in line with, you know, what the philosophy is. You know, the last thing in here that, you know, I just want to read one more small paragraph and then I'll pass it on to Marty. It says, we see and hear the NA message carried through one addict helping another. We become grateful for the autonomy of tradition for and willingly accept the responsibility which it requires. At this very moment, somewhere the NA message is being delivered. The proof of NA's validity is in the fact that our members stay clean and we do recover. And how we do it, and a lot of it has to do with the autonomy of our groups. I know in my home group, I like the identification of being a part of something. And I like, that's why I chose my home group, because I like its style. And as a member, I have that choice. And I'm not involved in like the steering committee of a group, or like the people that decide what the name is going to be or something like that. It's just that, you know, in going around to different meetings, this is the meeting that I saw, that I liked, that I felt more comfortable with. And it was that group's autonomy that attracted me. It was their style of doing that made me want to be a member. And looking at it in that light, I can get more of a sense of what the autonomy of a group is because of what it was to me. And what it was to me is what it was that attracted me, how they did their meetings. And it is a little different than the other meetings in the area, but it gives me what I need. And hopefully that's what autonomy can do, you know, for the groups. It gives me what I need, and it makes me feel a part of and not apart from. And that's all that I would like to say on it. And now I'd like to ask Marty and do it.
Story of my life.
Those mics working over there yet? Thank you, Dutch. My name is Marty, and I'm an addict. Glad to be here this morning. I'm the kind of guy that if there's not any controversy going on about me, I'll start some. This tradition's real important to me, and I've got some conflict with some things I've seen happen with it, with people saying, using those words, autonomy, and now, one of the things, I'm on the convention committee for the 6th East Coast, and I was program chairman for Fritna 3. And I had a lot of questions about this tradition. At the 6th East Coast, there was so much controversy about special interest groups. We sent out flyers to all the groups and asked them how they felt about it and what they wanted in it. And if they wanted special interest groups, it was either yes or no, and if you do, what are they? And the shit that came back was unreal. The shit that came back was gay, bikers, men's, women's, ballerinas, musicians. Now, I know one thing. I came to Narcotics Anonymous because they said they had help for addicts, period. It didn't say what color. It didn't say how I rode around. It didn't say how I lived my lifestyle. It didn't say how I dressed. It didn't say any of that shit. It said one thing. Do you have a desire to stay clean? Third tradition. And I think when we go against that third tradition, then we're violating it when we use the fourth tradition to get over. And these are only my opinion, which I respect very much. There are those that don't, but that's okay. I'm not here for them. I came to save my ass. Now, I think sometimes men's rap meetings are real nice. But what it says, if you're a female, you don't belong here. I think female women's meetings are nice. But I think those are designed for sponsorship. When a man and man sit down one-on-one and talk, that's a men's rap to me. And when a woman and a woman sit down and talk, that's a women's rap to me. You know, our program talks about honesty. And the only way I can get clean is to get humble and get honest and get rid of my ego. And what that tells me is if I can't share it in a group of the people who are like me, and I got to pick special groups of people to share it in, then I'm not being totally honest with me and the people about me. I started to crash a gay meeting one time, and I didn't because I was afraid people would talk. You know, I did everything out there in the street that the human body and mind can think of and perform, so I'm not immune to doing or being involved in anything. But the traditions tell me that I've got to stand for one thing, and that's Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, and not special people. And once again, these are my opinions. There's people that will argue this all day long. Well, that, you know, we've got special interest. We're different. You know, when it comes to addiction, there's nobody different. Our lifestyles may be different. The way we practice the 12 steps may be different. But the common goal is the same. I have a real tough time in accepting the fact that at the Six East Coast, we're going to have some specialty meetings. And the only reason we're having specialty meetings is because we've got a lot of people pleasers. Now, I'm not a people pleaser today. You know, I read the traditions for what they mean to me. And like Dutch said, sometimes I feel like I got to stand up and fight for something. I'd rather stand and fight for something than fall for anything. I'm not going to fall for whatever comes down the pipe today. I spent my whole life falling and agreeing with people just so that they'd like me. I didn't come here to win a popularity contest. And if I did, I haven't done a very good job. You know, believe it or not, I don't want this out of this room, but there are people that don't love me. But that's okay, I don't sleep with them. You know, I choose who I sleep with today, and that's only one person, so I don't have to please anybody else. What I have to please is inside my own gut, with what's in me, between me and the God of my understanding. And when I look at this, it says, some NA groups apply autonomy by appealing to specific types of people, professionals, men, women, young people, gay, lesbian, etc. However, NA groups do not close themselves off to any addict who need to attend a meeting. That's true, they don't close themselves off. But there's a lot of people that are scared to death to go into those meetings. There's a lot of people, I've seen people that have needed a meeting, and the only meeting around was a gay meeting, and they wouldn't go. If it was a regular NA meeting, they would have been there and they could have got the message. But because it was a specialty meeting, and I'm not just knocking a gay meeting, I'm talking, I don't care if it's sex without partners. Call it what you want. But the fact of the matter remains, for me, the Narcotics Anonymous is designed to carry one message to the addict who still suffers, and not special interest messages. And with that, I'll turn it over to Greg. Thank you.
Uh,
There are a couple things that came to my mind in addition to what's been said about our autonomy. To me, I think it's come down to autonomy for a group being the ability to survive on its own. My group will survive. It's sufficient unto itself. Let's say there are four or five groups in my community, and the other groups fold. The autonomy of my group, the ability for it to survive on its own, will keep my group going and keep my life a little bit safer. And I think that's the main purpose of this fourth tradition. I think that's the big statement, that our groups need to be able to survive on their own. They need to be sufficient unto themselves. They need to have their services. They need to have their sponsorship, whatever it happens to be, where they can survive, where they can grow, where they can continue. I think that's perhaps been a big problem in the growth of this fellowship, that you have an isolated group that doesn't have the self-sufficiency to survive, that doesn't have the autonomy to survive. They need to depend on other things, whether it's a group 600 miles away, whether it's a church, whether it's something else. And they folded because they had to rely on those other things. Let's talk about what a group is. I mean, it's a gathering together of members to learn how to live, based on a way of life and following a certain set of traditions. Autonomy is real tied in with the other traditions. I think this is probably one of the areas where we've seen more tradition violations in the name of autonomy than anything else, perhaps. I probably say that about any of the traditions, but it seems like we have a lot of problems with autonomy. This license that we were talking about, says here we're autonomous. That means I can do anything I damn please. Bullshit. That's not what it says. Perhaps this tradition really stands out and really is clarified for me in relationship to the first and sixth traditions. I have license. I have creative freedom. There was a line that popped, a paragraph that popped in my head out of the book, out of We Do Recover, that this was principally needed has proven itself in these passing years. The wordless language of recognition, belief, and faith, which we call empathy, created an atmosphere in which we could feel time, touch reality, and recognize spiritual values long lost to many of us. In our program of recovery, we're growing in numbers and strength. Never before have so many clean addicts, of their own choice and in free society, been able to meet where they please to maintain their recovery in complete creative freedom. Now, I think that's a statement about autonomy, too. The ability of a group to further its primary purpose. I think the license of autonomy, if there is how can I better carry the message to the guy who's dying? What can we do in our group to make our newcomers' chances of survival a little better? Can we have someone greet him at the door? Can we set up a special deal where we can get together with those new members and explain a little bit about the program? Maybe call it a newcomers meeting? Can we make a special effort to get with these newcomers and talk to them after the meeting? Can we provide them a list of phone numbers they can call if they get in trouble? I mean, there are a whole gamut of things we could do to further our primary purpose. I think these are the things that come first and foremost under that autonomy. That's one side of the coin. I think that our sixth tradition guides the license, if you want to call it that, of the fourth tradition. Yes, we do have autonomy, but it's autonomy, number one, to survive, and number two, to better carry our message. It's not autonomy to do whatever we damn please. And then the limiting factor tying into the first tradition is common welfare and unity. So we only have autonomy insofar as we can maintain our common welfare, as it's focused to our common welfare and focused towards unity. I don't believe a group has the right to do something in the name of autonomy that's not in the common welfare of the fellowship, that will destroy the unity. I don't think that's a valid application of autonomy. I think a valid application of autonomy, again, is survival of the group. And then number two, carrying the message. I like that focus for this tradition.
Thanks, Greg. Now, I'd just like to wrap up one thing, and then we'll throw it out. And that microphone there is live. So anybody that wants to address, the fourth tradition, could you do so by doing it in that microphone? And if they want to share on it, or if they have any questions on it. But I like what Marty said, and I like what Greg had to say, and I'd just like to add a couple more things. And one is my personal opinion, and I'm glad that I don't have to reflect. I'm a Board of Trustee member, and I'm glad that I don't have to reflect the opinion of the board. But in something like this, I can give my own opinion on autonomy that deals with special interests with me. I would like to see a sexless NA. I would like to see NA as one. I've spent a lot of time before recovery and in recovery being different. A lot of it was because I was scared to be a part of. And, the fourth tradition, like my home group doesn't have a time limit. We go on for 2 or 3 hours. And it lets everybody feel as if they're a part of, which was important to me when I came in, and that's why I like that group. But, the creativity that's talked about, I believe that autonomy can be what it is as long as it reflects the attitudes of the 12 steps. And I know that that's not in our literature or anything, and that's my own personal opinion. But I know in my own personal case, I studied the traditions before I worked the steps. And going back over it and doing the steps first, it's like teaching an old dog new tricks. It's hard. But I know today, if in the autonomy of my home group, if it can reflect the attitudes of the 12 steps, the results are good. And if it doesn't reflect the attitudes of the 12 steps, it usually, falls outside of spiritual principles and into self-will. And I do believe that we are one, all of us. We all have felt different. We all know how to be different. But I think if God had to answer that question, He would want us all one. And that, we are addicts. We're different in our own personalities and our own experiences. But our first thing is that we're addicts. And, I like what Greg said. What can we as a group do to help this person or help that person? And I believe we can do anything as long as it stays within the spiritual principles that the 12 steps lay out first. And if anybody wants to comment on tradition 4 or has any questions, feel free. Could you address the microphone?
My name's Jim, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
And maybe I can, and maybe I can't. My wife said, you know, you go into this traditions workshop, you get laryngitis, maybe it's an act of God. Thank you. Thanks, Earl. Okay. First thing I want to share is, I think what you said about the steps is really important. You know, lately I've been looking at this kind of a thing as an 11-step experience. You know, a real 11-step. When we get together, you know, I don't think it was that way 2 or 3 years ago.
No way.
You know, we're all a lot angrier than we are today. But I think we're getting calm, and maybe, hopefully, I pray that I can let this be, you know, seeking an improved conscious contact through members, people. Anyway, comments on the fourth tradition. First thing that I have to share is that I think in the fourth tradition, the concept of the group becomes so important that we need a better definition of the group than we have. The definition of a group that we have that, I'll try to quote it, but approximately anyway, the group is a meeting that meets in the same place in the same time every week. I think that's deficient. I don't think that's enough. Someone shared earlier, maybe a little better definition of a group. And I would submit that something like this, you know, this is just a general idea. To me, a group is a distinguishable group of NA members who customarily use a meeting or a set of meetings or a set combination of meetings to express their recovery through the 12 steps of NA and their sharing through the 12 traditions of NA. But at any rate, I think we need a little better definition of what a group is. I think a group is more than a meeting that meets the same time, the same place. I know all of us have seen, you know, all of us have seen something called a group that meets on Tuesday nights, and then the same set of people on Wednesday nights get together and it's a different group, but it's not. I mean, you know, reality tells us that that's not a different group. At least in my opinion. The second thing, I've begun to think about traditions in terms of how I can enhance them. One of the things that I can help people see, I think, is that the fourth tradition says that groups are autonomous. Doesn't say that service committees are autonomous, because they're not. The ninth tradition covers service committees. They're directly responsible. It doesn't say that trusted servants are autonomous. They're not. The second tradition covers trusted servants. It says they do not govern. I think our fourth tradition helps to provide for valid differences in trusted servants and their expression based on the autonomy of the group and that group's special needs to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous to a different set of people than another group. And it also, the fourth tradition, provides for specialized services. Specialized, not autonomous. Specialization in service committees to give us the tools that we need to provide, to really share this message in the situation that we find ourselves in as an autonomous group. I think we need to be really careful with our language, with our words. Very, very precise. And we have a tendency to, when we mean that a directly responsible service board or committee is performing a specialized service, when that's what we mean, we say that they're autonomous to shorten that all up, you know. And they're not. They're not. Autonomous, to me, the dictionary defines, well, you know, I look for definitions in dictionaries. I don't look for them in personal experience. I want to use my words in recovery and service precisely to mean what they mean. Therefore, I say I'm clean, not sober. Because if I said I was sober, I would mean that I was somber, serious, moderate, not drunk. You know? When I say I'm clean, in the dictionary, it means what colloquially or whatever it means, free from narcotics use and possession. And that leads me to the word narcotics, and I look that up in a dictionary and I find that it isn't what I thought it was. In reality, anything that leads to a sleep-inducing or death-inducing state, anything. Okay, anyway, precision in words. And that's very important, I think, with the word autonomous. I'm not, as a member, autonomous. Most particularly, I'm not as a trusted servant. I'm not as a member because I can't, we can't. I'm not as a trusted servant because I do not govern. You know, I'm not as a member of a service committee because I'm directly responsible. But me and you together as a group, we are autonomous. And that's the only place that autonomy exists in our 12 traditions, and it really has to do with the group. And I plead with you to work with this concept of defining a group better. I have one other thing to say now, as quick as I think that a placement of concepts is real important. And in our early literature development, which is what we're involved in right now, early literature development, we get valid concepts placed wrong. We have a tendency to talk about whatever you want to call them, special interest meetings or special problems discussion under the fourth tradition. And I think that causes a lot of problem. In my perception, in my opinion, this whole discussion belongs in the fifth tradition. You know, the fifth tradition says we have a primary purpose. It doesn't say that we lack a secondary purpose. And very obviously, some groups in their autonomy choose to express a secondary purpose. But as long as the primary purpose is kept primary and the secondary purpose is kept secondary, I think my opinion is we don't have any problems. We don't have any troubles. As long as, you know, the focus is on the primary purpose rather than the focus being on the secondary purpose. And, you know, I've been on both sides of this issue many times. We've talked about it in terms of the third tradition. We've talked about it in terms of the fourth tradition. And we're still embroiling controversy. I just suggest that maybe if we talk about it in terms of the fifth tradition, that some of the controversy might evaporate because we've placed the concept a little bit more properly.
Billy. I'm an addict and I'm Bill. And I'm from Allentown. And, we had a lot of problems at one time with this tradition where I come from. And I don't know, at the Northeast Coast, so they did a workshop there. And the workshop was basically on trying to get the positives, how we can have these traditions and participate in upholding these traditions instead of trying to find the reasons of how we're always screwing up and discussing the problems that each group has, but discuss how we can participate in bettering this and being more involved in it. You know, we were having a problem because in Allentown, we once belonged to the Philadelphia Area Service Committee, and we had six meetings a week, and it was one group. And we wanted to form into an area, and the area didn't want to form into an area at that time. One person did, and I was just lucky to be that one person. And we had problems because we all attended six meetings a week, as Jim was talking, and we were all one group, and we actively voted in all six meetings according to the service structure of what a group defined. And we had a find how we could be autonomous as my set home group, which is still three meetings a week, which meets on a Wednesday, Saturday, and Tuesday night. So we do meet three times a week, my home group, and we do meet in two different buildings. Tuesday night meets in a separate building than our Wednesday and Saturday meeting. And the thing about it was, and each of the groups in Allentown has two meetings apiece. You know, Monday, Thursday is one group, a higher power group, and Sunday and Friday are one group. And we each have different things that we do. My home group participates in a literature study group. One of my home meetings is a speaker discussion meeting, which is a two-hour meeting. And our Saturday morning meeting is our study meeting. And seems that what has happened is what we do is we have a home group conscious meeting, and we go over the issues to deal with the group itself. And what we deal with personally is how to better our group, take an inventory of our group on a monthly basis. How can we participate as the members coming together and getting more involvement? You know, and we come up with strange things like call somebody up and ask someone to come with you to the meeting and find out if anybody's not being involved in any other group and ask them if they want to get involved. You know, and ask people to come early and stay late. And this is how we operate as an autonomous group. These are things we discuss on a monthly basis on how we can improve our group and get more involvement, participation. And then we have these things coming back from the service structure. And I heard a lot of debates on it from different meetings that used to belong to our area that now have one meeting left our area because of this here great thing about autonomous. We are autonomous, and we do not have to be involved in the area. And we don't have to be involved in the service structure. And one thing that we found out from not being involved and not participating as a group and not sending a DSR and a DSR alternate to participate for us and to bring that stuff back, what happened was our group had no knowledge and was isolated. And that was the direct result of taking that word autonomous and abusing it. And it says that if I don't know what I have received in it, that our home group is a very busy, active group. It participates. So we want to know what these committees that we directly set up to serve us for things that we can't do as a group there because it's too much for the one meeting or three meetings that we have to take care of. We want to know what's going on, and we want the knowledge. We want to be educated. And so we get a report back once a month, a written report from area service. We get a written treasury report to see where our money's going to. And we actually participate in that deal. We actually participate in sending motions to the area service floor to be dealt by the area as a whole. Because we feel in the home group that what our area is doing affects the Cox and Oms in our area as a whole. Anything they're doing in public information affects us. Anything they're doing when they're getting involved in H&I affects us as a whole, Narcotics Anonymous, in our area. And so we actively participate there as a group. We made that decision that as our group can not tolerate that they're autonomous to that point where we would directly say, you do it, we'll sit back and we'll be autonomous. And because what happens is when we become that autonomous, we don't have people answering the helplines. We don't have people going into the institutions. We don't have people working on getting PSA announcements on the radio. And so the Area Service Committee is directly a committee that we set up responsible, but where they get their membership from is from the groups. They don't get it from outside of Narcotics Anonymous. They get it from the groups. And so that's where we realized that we had to actively participate in this area. And we could no longer tolerate that they're autonomous means. Because at one time, I was the GSR for the whole Allentown group. And they used to send me to Philadelphia. And it was like the area didn't participate in anything that was going on with the Philadelphia Area Service Committee, which we were part of. And what was happening was addicts were dying, and addicts kept going out using. And none of our no H&I work was done, no public information work was done, no literature review was done in our area. None of this stuff happened. And what happened was I was set up as a leader, not a trusted servant. I was set up to become like a set guru of the area through that lack of participation. And I paid my personal recovery through that, letting myself become set up in that area. And letting, actively participating, and letting the groups become that autonomous and that isolated. And not realizing what autonomous meant with self-governing. That's what it meant. And that's what, in the dictionary, you'll find that definition. It's self-governing. It allows us to actively partake in that set given home group that I belong to. And we do not have a definition of home group. It's just something where my conscience feels at home. And that's where I go to participate. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Is anybody else want to address the fourth issue? Karma, could you keep it to like 3 or 4 minutes? Otherwise, we'll have
just a request.
Speaker meetings.
My name is Kermit, and I'm an addict.
Kermit.
Member of the Together We Can group in Narcotics Anonymous. I just wanted to ask, what is matters that affect other groups or NA as a whole?
And with that is things that the 12 steps and 12 traditions affect NA as a whole. You know, like how much coffee is bought at a home group really doesn't affect NA as a whole. You know, that's a group conscience, and there's a group conscience on whether or not this it works, how and why. You know, so there's two different types of group conscience. I believe one affects NA as a whole, and I believe one doesn't. So it's you know, up to the people to decide. Not this panel. Greg?
Yeah, my name's Greg. I'm an addict.
Hi, Greg.
Like everybody else, I have a opinion on that, too. To me, the license of the fourth tradition, you know, that which does not affect other groups or any of a whole, is that which lies in within the philosophy of Narcotics Anonymous. Certainly a group that decides it's okay to, well, you know, we won't shoot heroin, but we'll smoke weed and drink. It's okay. We're clean. Is not going to get a very good reputation in the community they're in. Perhaps not in the state they're in. And that may reflect adversely on Narcotics Anonymous. That's really at odds with the concept of total abstinence, you know, which is a philosophy of Narcotics Anonymous. To me, if it is in keeping with our philosophy, which is expressed primarily in our steps and traditions, but also other places in our literature. I mean, it doesn't say total abstinence in our steps and traditions. If it's in keeping with our philosophy, it's okay. If it's in violation of our basic philosophy as a fellowship, then that affects our fellowship and other groups.
All right. I just got a note from the walkie-talkie man. Make sure that if anybody talks into the microphone, talk directly into it. And I'm going to wrap that up on the fourth tradition. I just want to read something that when I read it made me damn grateful that I even got a shot to work the traditions. And a lot of things I take for granted over here in America that isn't like that around the world. And this came from a letter from a guy who got clean here in the States, and he's over in Europe now. And I just hope that, you know, they get the chance to work the traditions over there. NA is virtually non-existent in northern Germany. Do you know that even AA doesn't list in the phone books over here? I hired a private detective to find the local AA groups around Nuremberg. Well, I met a guy named Horst, who is a recovering addict, clean 12 years, and what a story this guy is, Dutch. Do you know that in Germany a person can go to prison for 10 years just for being loaded on heroin? Now, it's also illegal to help someone who is loaded get clean. they consider that harboring a criminal. So I'm lucky. I'm damn lucky. It's a privilege to argue about the traditions, whereas some people don't even have that. So a lot of things that I take for granted in this program, and a lot of things that I just scoff off, and don't worry about it, it'll get ironed out, it'll work out. Some people really don't have that. And he went on to tell me that there's 100,000 dope fiends in that city that don't have a shot at working the traditions because it's against the law. So we are lucky. I'm lucky. And with that, I would like to go on. That ties into the next tradition about our primary purpose. And Marty, you can run it.
I'm the chairman.
I'm Marty. I'm an addict.
Hi, Marty.
Hi, Marty.
Keep coming back. Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. My question is, what message are they talking about? I only know of one. That's the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. As Jim brought up earlier, what we were talking about could be brought into this tradition. I believe any time we talk about any of the traditions, they can be brought into another tradition to talk about. The traditions are so controversy within themselves, it's unreal, just by our own thinking. I think the first thing I have to look at is, the more I analyze, the more I paralyze myself. Yeah. The more I become intellectual on the traditions, the more confused I get. The more I become intellectual on the steps, the more confused I get. If you really want to see a sick bunch of people show up at a 12-step meeting, that's where you go and you find out what the fuck they really mean. You know, they mean what the hell they mean. And the more intellectual I get about it, the worse off I get. You know, I think that my head keeps score, but when I go to the bathroom, I find out it's my gut that's keeping score. You know, I came in here because my gut was killing me. My mind was already gone. And to come in here and think I'm going to get clean, getting my mind right ain't going to work. I got to get my gut right because my heart's located right in there. And that's where I got to live from. The group's purpose is to carry the NA message. And I want to save this for Tradition 6. The NA message isn't detox centers, treatment centers, and what they have to offer. They're not special interest groups. The NA message is 12 spiritual steps of recovery. That's the NA message, as I understand it. That's how you people taught it to me. And I don't want to learn it any different than that, because it's worked for over 10 years for me. And it's the only thing in my life that ever worked. And I don't want that to change. You know, I don't want to go to meetings and hear intellectual, philosophical group therapy. You know, I was sitting in a meeting one night and somebody was talking and a guy said, "Well, how do you feel about that, Billy Bob?" You know, I don't have a right to sit in meetings and ask people how they feel about something. My purpose in being in a meeting is to share my experience, strength, and hope, shut up and listen. That's what I go to meetings for. Not to question people about where they're at. If somebody shares where they're at, I can share where I identify with that, or how I can sympathize with them and not feel sorry for them. But I have to share my message of recovery through the 12 steps, not my philosophical clonish guru bullshit. You know, you were talking about your meeting last three hours, the Talking Heads group, I guess you got it called. Our guidelines suggest that our meetings are an hour and a half. I like to stick to those guidelines. because that's enough time to carry the message for me and then get together after the meeting to talk. Because I've been to some talking heads meetings, and for me, this is just for me. I know you're sicker than I am and you need longer time. But for me, what happens, I've been in some talking heads meetings, and what happens, three or four people like to talk all night about nothing. And I don't come to learn about nothing. I come to learn and stay clean. And my attention span is about 15 seconds at a time. And then it wanders off into the atmosphere, and then it comes back. And I need to go to meetings to learn something. And I need to go to meetings to learn something specific. And I need to learn about the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous through other people's experience, strength, and hope. And for me, that's carrying the NA message. And I'll turn it over to Greg.
Thank you. My name's Greg. I'm an addict. And I don't have a whole lot to say about the fifth tradition, you know, 6 or 7 hours worth probably, but I won't. A couple of things come to mind. We talked about other purposes, or Jim mentioned some other purposes talking about the other fourth tradition. And that's a question that comes up when you start talking about what is our primary purpose. Do we have any other purposes? I know I have a lot of purposes for going to meetings. I've gone to meetings out of desperation. I've gone to meetings for the social aspects. I've gone to meetings to gossip. I've gone to meetings for all kinds of reasons. I think that's one of the ways that I can apply this tradition personally. I have trouble with the direct, you know, my primary purpose is not to carry the message. My primary purpose is to survive this sucker. You know, I've got this thing, I've got this disease, and I have to do what I got to do to keep it from getting me. Part of what I have to do is go to meetings and try and carry the message. But that's only part of what I have to do. I also have to not put anything in my body. That's important too. And it's a scary question sometimes. Why are you here? You're sitting, you know, in a Thursday night group, and why are you there? What the hell are you doing here? Are you here to give and get recovery? Or are you there for some other reason? And what happens if most of the people that are sitting in that group aren't there to give and get recovery? What have you got? I don't think you have a Narcotics Anonymous group. I think you have something, but I don't think it's a Narcotics Anonymous group. And think about that when you're sitting in your Thursday night meeting. Or your Tuesday night meeting. What are you doing there? And what is the guy next to you doing there? The gal sitting across the way, what's she doing there? She's there to give and get recovery? Okay. But what can we do about that? I think we can talk about that. That I can be in a meeting and orient myself, take a minute or two as I come into the room to orient myself towards recovery, not towards the illness in one form or another, not towards some sort of substitution involved in people, places, and things. You know, Dutch was saying something about how his recovery was. My recovery is at least starting out with a matter of substitution. I found all kinds of things other than drugs to get strung out on. And it's just been the last few years that I've found out some about recovery. Another thing we can do is we can look at our formats. You know, we talk about this great primary purpose, but how many times do we pick a speaker for a speaker meeting who's got an entertaining war story? and has never written an inventory. I mean, all the time. How often do we go into a group and we have a discussion meeting and we're going to discuss? Let's say a step study meeting. That's a type of discussion meeting. We have a step study meeting, and the step and tradition study meeting, and the topic for tonight is the seventh tradition. And we have someone in withdrawal sitting in the back of the room who just may not hear the message. I like discussion meetings. I like step study meetings. But do they best fulfill our primary purpose? I mean, the sucker back there in the back row dying, he's just wondering about how he's going to get through the night. And whether or not this sucker's going to kill him. You know, he's important. You know, he's real important. I think we have to be concerned with him. The area I live in, most of the meetings are discussion format. They start out and they say, does anybody have a problem they'd like to discuss at this meeting? I mean, we even pick somebody to facilitate the group therapy. You know. And they get cross discussion and feedback and, you know, the whole bit. It's real interesting. But I single out some meetings that don't have that format to be the ones that I go to. Because that's not what NA is all about. You know, there's a lot of real interesting formats that go on around the country, and they're all valid. You know, we have a lead comment that's real common in the Northeast. Discussion meetings are real common in the Southeast. Participation meetings are real common in the Southwest. The different types of meetings. We have to be careful as we're looking at our group to build in the carrying of the message. Let's not forget the carrying of the message. We have a tendency to forget that when we're saying, well, what are we going to do? How's the meeting going? You know, maybe the first topic at a group business meeting is, how have we done this month at carrying the message? How have we done this month at fulfilling this primary purpose? Did anybody hear what they needed to hear in order to find recovery from the disease of addiction? Did we have a newcomer that didn't come back? You know, is there anything we could have done to make his odds about coming back a little better? Those are some scary questions. Thank you.